Hello. Welcome. This is Between Two Worlds podcast. My name is Luke. I am the host, and we have taken quite a long break. Almost 2 months, I think.
2 months?
Yeah, because someone was gone all of August.
I think there were a number of people.
There's two people gone all of August.
Luke?
No, it wasn't me.
Annalie?
No, it wasn't Annalie.
It was me.
You're two people?
So, yeah, I was a little confused at that point, but yes.
Dan was gone and Ron was gone.
I don't think I was gone all of August.
I don't remember. Annalie?
I think we saw you like twice.
And that was at one dinner.
No.
And
No. Okay. I think we could work this out. I was incognito at times.
So not here.
I was here.
In disguise.
Yes, I was.
Dan had a very busy July.
Yes.
What happened in July?
Well, we had 3 weeks of day camp. It was awesome. It was fantastic. It was great. We were full every week. We had a great set of leaders, awesome set of kids that were out. Talked about Jesus, had a ton of fun. Yeah, it was a success.
It was so much fun. You got a hernia.
Wow!
Like, I didn't know we were going to talk about that.
Yeah. So tell us how you got a hernia, Dan. Please, the audience would love to know this.
Well, we were having a lot of fun one day, and I looked at some of the youth and they're playing soccer, and I was like, I'm going to go play soccer too. So I went over and I stretched out my leg to touch the ball, and I felt in my groin area kind of feeling like this. And I was like, oh, what's that? And I was like, oh. So yes, Ron, that's how that all happened there.
Oh, so good. But you're totally fine now.
Yes.
You're healed.
I actually was able to get in. I got surgery right away. I was able to get in because of the immense pain that I was crying like a little baby, as my wife said about. So.
Can't handle pain, Dan?
I cannot handle pain. What's really weird, though, is the surgeon, she was incredible, but she was a young woman.
Yeah.
I think probably the age of one of my daughters, and it was just...
Ooh.
Yeah, it was awkward.
Were you the first one?
I don't think I was the first one, but it was just like, I felt really awkward. So. And she was really short. Yeah. Like, I don't know if she was 5 feet. Like, it was like,
so it was, she needed a stool to get up on the operating table?
She actually did have a stool. But she was incredible, and we were out at the Chilliwack Hospital, and we just had incredible care out there.
That's awesome.
So it went well, and yeah. So
and you're back.
I'm back. Give me a couple more weeks.
How many pounds can you lift?
I cannot push, pull, or lift more than 10 pounds until the end of September.
But 9 pounds you're good with.
9 pounds I'm good with.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you actually weigh things before you pick them up?
I was carrying around one of my grandsons the other day, and my wife pulled him out of my arms.
Uh-oh.
Because apparently he's 13 pounds.
Oh, so, boy, Dan. Yep. Yeah. That'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, you want that open up? You want that to come out?
You keep your guts inside of you right now.
And I was like, because
Ron, you've had a hernia.
Oh, yes.
Wasn't it a horseback riding?
It was a combination of horseback riding and playing catcher for a six-game tournament. And up and down. And then it blew out.
It blew out.
Picture we were stuffing things back in, and then things just, this is not right. This is not right.
That's disgusting.
That was in the day when you had to do it. You know, I was in the hospital for like a week because it was just, that was a pretty major one. But I'm back.
I love how Annalie's just sitting here just kind of go, I'm not making eye contact.
This is a great start to this
That's
podcast.
A great day. Welcome back, Danny.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Ron.
But Annalie, you had an exciting summer.
I did, yes.
What'd you do this summer?
I was here lots. Mm. We got to hang out with our high school students that were doing the lead team with the kids camps, which was tons of fun. Got to know them, did a retreat with them. We did youth events all of July. And I got to hang out lots with my core group in August. And then we went backpacking for a week in August in the Rockies. Yeah, it was a good summer. It was nice, hot. I liked it.
That sounds awesome.
That's How about great. You, Luke? How was your summer?
My summer was the exact same thing as yours.
Ah, yes. And why would that be?
Because I'm dating Annalie's sister.
Yeah. What?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I forgot.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Cool.
Very cool.
Well, we're going to move along. to up and coming events. Ooh. So we're going to start with Dan. Dan, what is happening with middle school? So today, right now, when we're doing this podcast, it is Wednesday morning.
It is September something.
September 5th.
Good.
So what's happening?
Higher Ground, now known as Middle School Bible Class, of course, starts this weekend as all the weekend teaching programs kick off.
Kickoff weekend.
So it's known as...
It is Middle School Bible Class, which is really difficult just to make that transition in my mind because calling it Higher Ground for years, and people still call it Higher Ground.
Absolutely.
And so, but it is Middle School Bible Class.
So when we announce it from the stage...
It's Middle School Bible Class because apparently it was causing some confusion with new people coming to the church because they're like, higher, what? Top of the roof church? I don't know. So anyways... That starts this week.
Maybe some Star Wars reference. Yeah, high ground. Anik, I don't know.
I don't know what's going on. So.
Levitating.
I haven't heard that one, but it made possibility.
What does that have to do with higher ground?
There's possibility. So, rising up. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So that starts this weekend. So that's awesome.
I have no idea.
And then we have Vertical Edge, which is a grade 7-8 ministry. Which is still called Vertical Edge. That starts next Tuesday.
There's no confusion there.
There's no confusion. No, because everyone's like, I mean, years ago, I tried to take the names out. I was like, I'm just going to make it totally generic.
Yeah.
And I actually put them all in my pastor report for the summer that I was going to take them out. And then all the youth were coming to me and I said, they're like, hey, when's Vertical Edge start? And I'm like, oh, do you mean grade 7-8 youth? And they're like, no, Vertical Edge. So I was like, okay. Oh, they're like, we're calling it Vertical Edge. So that starts next Tuesday. Nice. And then the following Monday is our grade 6 youth group, also known as Jump 6. And then we have a retreat at the end of the month. So
awesome.
September 28th.
Can you sign up?
You can sign up online. Sign up now. It'd be good. I mean, it's...
limited spots?
Yeah, well, it's got on there the sign-ups until, I think, September 21st. The camp, September 28th to 30th over at Camp Luther in Mission. But it's filling up. Like all of our ministries, the camps, the retreats fill up. Mm-hmm. And so if you want your youth to go, it's a great way to start off the year. It's a great way to build community.
Yeah.
Get to know the leaders and that. So you want to get signed up right away.
And it's so much fun.
And it's so much fun. The other thing I just want to throw out too, if it's something I know the beginning of the year with costs and such like that, and you're like, well, there's no way I can afford the $90. We don't need to be paid up front. We can take payment over a few months. That's not a problem at all. You just got to contact us and let us know that.
I remember going to one of the retreats. It's outrageous. It's so much fun. Dan does such a good job putting so much fun into such a small period of time. I don't know how you do it, Dan.
I don't know. Some supernatural ability.
I think it is. Annalie, what's happening with high school?
We actually kick off our regular youth year tomorrow, Thursday, on the 6th. And we start at 6. We've got a big barbecue. And we got games planned, worship, teaching, small group stuff. So it'll be great to get our kids back into our schedule.
And there's giveaways, right?
There is. We're giving away 8 hammocks. So that's going to be sweet. And then, we keep going every Thursday for the rest of the month and the year. And our fall retreat is coming up in like 3 weeks.
The week before middle school.
Yeah, September 21st through 23rd. Registration is open for that. So sign up. We go down to Camp Furwood, which is in Bellingham. And it's awesome. We got a lake. We got boats. We've got the blob. We've got night games, campfire, hopefully, if the fire ban is off by then. This year we're starting our Bible study again. We're studying Genesis. That'll be September 25th, I believe. That's that first day. That's Tuesday nights, 7 to 9 here at the church. Yeah, lots of fun stuff happening this fall for us.
Awesome. We are now going to move into my favorite part. It's Here's the Thing with Ron.
Okay, here's the thing. I've been annoyed at this. This is going on for years. It happens in our household regularly. It has cost me grief. It has cost me good money. It has cost me at times to blame certain people for certain things that happen. But you have a meal, you prepare a good meal, and then you have leftovers, which everybody should be excited about for the next day or two. So you look for things to store your food in the refrigerator. We call it Tupperware. But something happens to our Tupperware. The lids disappear. Mm. I don't know if that's the problem in any of your households here, but where do the lids go? The containers are there. And so you hunt. You tear that drawer apart. You're looking for that red lid, that blue lid, that hexagon lid, that rectangle lid, that square lid, that round lid. Whatever kind of lid it is, it does not exist. Where do they go? That's my question. Where do the Tupper lids go? It's kind of like the sock thing, right? Yeah. When you throw your socks in the laundry and you do the laundry, you do the wash, you do the dryer, and gone.
Yeah.
One of them's gone. Mm-hmm. Now, where do the lids go? Like, they just don't jump out of the cupboard. They just don't walk their way into the recycle bin. And so, whose fault is it?
Well, Ron.
Yes, your fault?
No, I was going to say, I thought you were legitimately asking, where do they go?
Where do they go?
Okay, so I was going to say, from my experience, if you wash your plasticware,
yes,
in your dishwasher, yes, often the lids can fall in between the racks and they will fall down onto the element, and then they will melt. And then if someone is emptying the dishwasher, they'll just go
trash it.
And they'll just be your children, not your children, because you have adult people.
Yeah.
But they are being very careful, right? And they don't want to put away garbage, so they're cleaning up. So they're actually caring for you, caring for your kitchen, caring for your house. And I think you're just bringing a lot of anger. That's unnecessary here.
But how many times I've bought good Tupperware, Dan?
You keep saying Tupperware, and I have visions of my mom going to Tupperware parties. So I have visions of you going to some Tupperware party.
I'm open to that. I'm actually open to maybe becoming a Tupperware salesperson.
Then you get the benefits of
and
free
I get the benefits
stuff.
Of free yeah. stuff, and I won't be so disappointed. Oh, no lid, no worry. Let's go to the storage place and find some more, whatever. But I'm serious. Like, we have a cupboard right now, a drawer that we pull out, and I shake my head and I say, there's no point going in there.
Do you ever pull the drawer right out and see if the lids have fallen behind the drawer? I have also discovered this.
Oh.
You could have a plethora of lids
hidden
underneath the jar.
Because right now, MCC owns a lot of my lidless Tupperware.
You donate lidless Tupperware?
Other people want your lidless
Tupperware. See, they may have lids. I don't know.
They're the ones taking the lids.
They might be somebody looking. I have lids. This dude has
That's fascinating.
Containers. I know. It's an issue that I'm going to try and work on this year.
Hopefully you can work through it this year.
Yeah.
Wow.
If any of you have Tupperware lids that you do not have Tupperware containers for, send them my
Okay,
way.
This would actually be hilarious if on a youth night, you just have all these youth bringing Tupperware lids. If you are a parent and you are listening to this.
Send lids.
Send lids.
Send lids.
Doesn't matter what
kids.
Lid, any lid.
That's right.
No, thanks, Ron.
We're on.
Exhilarating.
I think he had a page of notes for that.
Yeah, he did. next part. We have actually a new segment. This new segment is called Slang Words.
Oh.
This is the part of the time where I will ask the three of you if you know what this particular slang word is and try to guess what this word means. The word is goat.
Ooh.
If I say, hey, Annalie, you're the goat.
Oh.
What does that mean? Ron, you want to start?
I had a goat once. Do you know that I had to drink goat's milk? I had ulcers in grade one. I did. Ulcers in grade one and grade two.
Dude, how come like everything's a story about
But apparently, goat's milk is great for... What is a goat? Somebody that is to blame.
Mm.
Somebody's to blame. You're the goat. That's yours. You got to own that.
Dan?
I think of some sort of sacrificial thing.
Oh,
like, we
boy.
Are going to throw you on the fire. We are going to sacrifice you...
So sort of like Ron's.
It's similar.
Yeah,
but I'm still trying to go, how
is
that
more spiritual?
How does that apply,
maybe,
though, to the slang these days?
Yeah.
And I mean, I know these kids do some crazy stuff, but I don't know about sacrifices right now.
The goat.
Kids are sacrificed. Annalie.
Yeah, I've never been one to be up on the pop culture thing, so I have no idea what kids are using goat for these days. I use goat if, like, I hike. And
goat cheese?
Danae's a goat. She runs up those mounds like a little goat.
That's... Oh.
So I don't know if that's a derogatory term.
Wow. So I'm going to just let you guys know, goat is a positive thing.
Oh.
Goat is actually an acronym.
Oh.
Greatest of all time.
Oh.
What?
You are the goat.
I'm going to call my wife right after this.
You call her a goat.
And I'm going to call her a goat.
See what she says.
See how that goes.
Lena, you may be lifting more than 10 pounds real soon.
Yeah,
we want you back in the hospital.
Yeah, so if someone calls you a goat, that's a good thing.
Oh,
you are,
okay.
Dude, you're the goat.
Awesome.
She's the goat. He's the goat.
I like
Michael
it.
Jordan's the goat. LeBron's the goat. Aaron Rodgers. He's the goat. Tim Keller.
Well.
He's the goat.
Okay.
We're all learning stuff here.
Yeah, all learning stuff. This is awesome. A new segment where we're going to be learning lots, diving into words that we'll get to know.
Awesome.
Sweet. Now we're going to move into the actual beneficial part of this podcast.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about how to start the year off strong with your middle school, high school kids, how to be an encourager, and how to dig deeper in probing questions of how their day went. So first, we're going to start off with how to start off the year strong spiritually with your kids. What are some things, maybe some pointers, or what are just some things that you've done maybe in your life or your kids' life that is a good way to start the year off and mm-hmm. to put a good tone into how we start the year? Does anyone want to start?
Well, I can start there. Just we have, over the years, obviously had four kids go through elementary school, middle school, high school. And one of the practices that we did, you always assume, I think, as a parent, that there will be a certain amount of anxiety at the start of a school year. There just is. There's a lot of pressure, whether they're elementary, not so much maybe, but more towards obviously middle school, high school. There's a lot of things there. And we can lose the spiritual aspect very, very quickly because obviously it's, there's a lot of social aspect to this and emotional, fears and things like that. And so I think a spiritual influence that you can bring as a parent is a calming influence, that God is in control, that God is the one who is at the very center of this. And, you know, whether you're going to a public school, a private school, homeschool, doesn't really matter. There is a lot of opportunity here. So one of the things that we did that we started practicing as parents when our kids left the house, whether it was elementary or whether it was all the way through high school, is before they left the house, we prayed for them out loud right at the door. And they could not leave the house until one of the parents prayed. So sometimes it was like, hurry, hurry, mom and dad, hurry. Come on, we got to pray, we got to pray. So in fact, they knew it. They knew it, that this was an opportunity for mom and dad to pray for their kids before they left for school.
Yeah, and I think with school starting, it's especially with all the kids, your youth, whatever age they are, they're heading into a new grade. And it doesn't really matter, like Ron said, if it's public school, private school, or even homeschool, we homeschool ourselves. The kids are excited about what is to come. Mm-hmm. Like for as a parent, it can quite often be it's another day at work, mm-hmm. right? It's different here at the church because for us, it's exciting too because everything's gearing up, getting crazy in September. But for most parents, it's like, oh, summer's over. It's going to start raining. I got to go to work tomorrow too. But if we live with the realization though that for the kids, it's new. Something new is happening. September signifies newness for them as they head into a new grade. So in that sense, it's a great time to, if there's stuff that we've let kind of slip over, like whether it's like Ron says, like praying together, whether it's sitting down with the word, church attendance, right? September, summer is a crazy time with vacations and such like that. But it's just a really great time to get focused with the kids. And we lead best by example. So the youth see us, all of a sudden we're opening our Bibles more. They're visibly seeing us. Wow. Okay. Mom, dad, right. They're praying. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's, they're taking some time together and stuff like that. The more that they can see us leading by example, the more easier it is to get them involved and to guide them that way. So,
yeah. And would you say that's very important for the middle school coming into grade six? Is that like a big transition that's hard for a lot of kids going from elementary school to middle school? Or as you say, from the safe womb of children's ministry to jump six?
it's a huge step. Even if you're at a school, if you're at a private school where you're simply walking from one building to another building, mm-hmm. it's different because the expectations of the teachers are different. It's what's going to be expected in the classroom setting. So it is a huge time of transition. and just the way that they're going to be thinking spiritually. The way that, because when you think about the way that they're changing intellectually, the way that they're going to be thinking about issues and dealing with their grades and classes and subjects, we want to be challenging them. That's a big thing that we do at middle school. We want to be challenging them in the way that they're thinking about God and the way they're thinking about theology. So it's a great time if you have kids that are at that age is to be challenging them or teaching them, discipling them in a more mature manner.
Yeah. You know? So because I've seen some, because like elementary school is fairly easy for a lot of the kids. Like, I mean, there's some kids who just don't agree with school at all. But when they get to middle school, it's a bit of a transition with more workload, more like different classes, that kind of stuff. You're learning about different things. And in the same transition from middle school to high school is that kids get overly attached to academics a lot of the time, or overly attached to athletics, or especially at MEI, overly attached to band or musical or theater or something like that. And how do you encourage your kids in to be have more with their spiritual life so that it just doesn't get pushed to the back burner? It's just like, oh, okay, church, but that's okay because you have soccer practice or a soccer game or a football game, or it's Tuesday night, but you have an exam or a test Wednesday afternoon that you need to take these 2 hours and study instead of going having fun and learning about God. Is there kind of how parents can help the kids balance well between spirituality and academics, or spirituality, academics, and athletics, that kind of stuff? Is what it, in that kind of regard.
I was thinking about that because I'm a detail-oriented schedule-type person, and I think a lot of people do schedules in September. I know. Did you know that, Luke?
What a surprise.
So September to me is like schedules start, and you get your schedule for school, and you've got your schedule for what's coming up with sports and everything like that. And I think something that can be helpful is to, when you're working through schedules, if you're working with your kids through schedules or your family's schedule, is to schedule in the church, the youth group, or the Bible study, or whatever type of spiritual growth type things you do with your kids, that those are part of your weekly schedule, not just something that fits in around everything else, but that's something that's in there. It doesn't have to be a youth group on Thursday night, but somewhere, where is the priority? Where are we growing in the word, not just in our academics and sports and band? Just make it part of the weekly schedule.
See, and I think that's good, because I think along that lines, it is up to us as parents and as youth workers to remind ourselves and our students, and for you mom and dads, is that faith is an adventure. You know, you think about how many adventures you would take your younger kids on, and you just say, get them all excited, like, oh my goodness, we did this. You know, because parents, you think, oh, this, they'll have so much. I think sometimes we default that faith is like boring. Church is boring, you know, and it's wrong for us to project that. Like, oh, that's so adult. No, we have to remind ourselves that faith is an adventure, and that, you know, in that adventure is going to be opportunity for you to grow and to get excited and through the scheduling and through the challenges that are going to come this way, it's going to be an adventure. And I think we have to recognize that as parents, is that, oh yeah, this is not, you know, just it's not a checklist here. We have to live this life out for our kids as well.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Next question is very similar, but how to encourage your kids? Because like going from middle or elementary school to middle school, or middle school to high school, or even just the transitioning grades in between, how to actually encourage your kids spiritually and with schoolwork, and how to just be someone who the kids know, your kids know that you're there to talk and to go through and to help. Is there any kind of tips or anything to that you guys have done in your own lives with your kids to be that for your kids?
I think there's a couple things here that come to mind immediately is that schedule, you know, and Lee talked about schedule. I think you have to have a schedule because summer is slack. And it's good. And it should be different, you know, from proper eating, proper nutrition, proper sleep, you know, getting that schedule out on the calendar in your phones or whatever, or the wall, And you are in constant conversation with your student as to, okay, this is where we're going. This is what we're doing. So schedule in youth group. Schedule in church. You know, I mean, like Danny was mentioning too, that, you know, we're out of sync here and we got to get this thing back in there. So I think, you know, encourage, your students, your kids to do the best they can with what they have. Like, do well. Encourage them to do well. Like, not talking about being A-plus students, but just do the best they can. And so you want to be involved in all of that. And I think we encourage our kids by being there, you know. I mean, we don't obviously follow them to the classroom, but if they're in extracurricular sports, you know, or extracurricular activities, from sports to hobbies to whatever it is, you know, we have to be there to encourage them. And so we want to encourage them in their faith too. Like, you know, how about, you know, a challenge, you know, like, you know, go, you know, 5 minutes for, you know, 50 days straight, you know, in the Word and praying, you know, just say, mm-hmm. let's do that. 5 minutes. You know, let's mm-hmm. crack it open and go. You know, those kinds of things I think are helpful.
Yeah, and I mean, I love what, I mean, with the high school ministry last year you guys had, or you've had the past few years, like reading through the Bible. I mean, we had the church-wide reading through the Bible, but you guys were actively encouraging your youth every week and sending out mm-hmm. a note and going, hey, this is what, you know, this, what is, we're reading. This yep. is what we're reading, you know? So, and I think, Ron, what you were saying about structure and expectations, it doesn't matter how old mm-hmm. Your student is. If we don't make our expectations clear as a parent,
yeah.
and we're not saying expectations as regards to like here are a bunch of rules.
No.
We want to raise our child in the Lord. We want to raise them holistically. We want them to do well yeah. in all areas of their life. And the best way to do that is you tell them. Like you have totally conversations right. and you can't do that if you're not walking alongside mm-hmm. them each day. But especially for middle school kids too, with structure and when we're talking about being out of sync, one of the things I just dealt with yesterday with my son who's going into grade six, and like I said, we homeschool, but it was just like a media, video games. You know, summer is a mm-hmm. crazy time, you know? So I don't know if you've got a child who likes to play Fortnite or what, but like, you know, conversation with my son, Cash Money the other night and mm-hmm. saying, Liam the other night and saying, dude, no video games during the day at all. Like mm-hmm. you can play for a little bit tomorrow night, you know, Graham Nichols kids when they get home from school, right? You know, and he's like, but I'm home during the day. And I go, yeah, and you're going to be doing some mm-hmm. schooling here, bro. You know, you're taking a step back. Summer's over. We're getting back focused. And of course, he's like, oh, yeah, youth is starting. I'm like, that's right. Youth is starting. Like, it's getting going. So, yeah.
Cool.
I also thought of one thing is to encourage your kids. It might not seem like it, but to push your kids in extracurricular activities or like what you said spiritually. I thought that was awesome to read the Word 50 days straight or whatever it is. But to push your kids into something that they might not want to do because mm-hmm. they don't know that they actually want to do it.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I've heard countless stories of parents who've been like, hey, no, you should do this. Like, I don't want to do this, but just pushing them. And then mm-hmm. eventually they're like, hey, thankful that you mm-hmm. did that for me. Mm-hmm. And that could be with the kids not wanting to go to youth group because yeah. it's too big or too crazy or totally too loud right. or too many people. Like, encourage the kids, hey, just go give it a try yeah. or just try to meet someone or talk to, like, just make an effort. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you're a crazy introverted person, hopefully when you get to youth, someone will talk to you.
Yeah.
That is the goal of both of our ministries,
yeah. mm-hmm.
that when you come to youth, you will feel loved, you will feel community, and you will be an important part of that community. And so I think a lot of it is parents, like, it might seem like forcing your kids, but I think that's a lot of encouraging is mm-hmm. being like, hey, like, this is a good place. This is something that's good to do. And helpful.
Well, yeah, and Luke, you had that's an excellent point. And we've been doing some of the same reading this summer here on some of the books we've been reading.
Yeah.
And the fact is, in our media-saturated culture and in our social media and smartphones and such like that, depression mm-hmm. amongst adolescents is rising.
Oh, it's huge.
And it's directly mm-hmm. related to the amount of individual screen time and less community time. Less one-on-one time, less time with friends in community. And the books, some of the books that we're reading too, that we're not we're not based from a Christian perspective. We're actually citing that Christian in Christian churches where the youth are involved in groups like that. The degree of loneliness and the degree of depression like that is actually lessened. And it's simply because we are made, as Christians, we know this, we are made to be in community together. Mm-hmm. And so when we're actively encouraging our youth to go to church, to be part of this group, this is good because it's actually how we're meant to be. We're meant to be in community, and we're meant to follow the Lord. So being able, to do that. And in the same way, if we're going, okay, my kid's in soccer, my kid's in hockey, and some of us are, you're mapping out your kid's scholarship in college where they can have actually,
your million-dollar house that you get from your kids.
But but you know what I mean? Like, you're mapping it out and say, okay, they got to go to all these practices, they're going to make their scholarships and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, well, let's take a step back now and look at them spiritually. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, and where do you want them to grow, and how are they going to do that if they're not actively?
And it boils down to what's most important, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What is most important here? And when we can look at that school year and thinking, okay, well, we want our kids to do well and all that kind of stuff, but love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Mm-hmm. Bottom line is we got to pass that on.
Yeah. And just going back to what Dan was talking about with the book is called iGen. And there's another book called Generation Z.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The iGen book, crazy, just stuff written in there. And so we'll be doing a more of a talk on that again. But it's more likely for kids to stay home on their bed on their phone than go out. Like the statistics on kids going out and not doing anything.
It's crazy.
It's like. If you're a parent listening, you probably remember you couldn't wait to leave your house and get out of from your parents. And now kids don't want to leave. They just want to stay home on their phones or play video games and talk to their friends through there. Like, it's a false sense of community, and it really wrecks kids.
And conversely, as parents, we could say, oh, they're safe, right? They're here.
Yeah.
They're safe. But you just have to look at, like I say, the statistics of depression, of loneliness, and
correlated with hours spent on a device.
Yeah, on a device. Yeah,
yeah. It's pretty wild. We'll be hitting up that later in the year.
Yeah, for sure.
So lastly, just quick, how to get more out of a conversation with kids? I find that it's so easy for like, hey, how is? I ask a youth kid, how's school? Fine. Okay, what was good? Nah, lunch. That's a common conversation.
Yes
what,
or no, yeah.
What are some quick tips for parents? Just some stuff that you find helpful.
Well, I think there's a couple things that come to mind immediately is that you have to set this up. You cannot just jump right into their world and say, okay, now you're going to talk to me. So I think planning family dinners is good. Make sure now. I mean, summer is, like we said, it's just helter-skelter, all this kind of stuff. Well, now that there's some schedule in there, make sure, mom and dad, you're looking down the road and say, hey, we can get one or two or three family dinners together in there. Look for those moments and opportunities then to say, okay, let's have some conversations. So phones away from the table. Don't let phones on the table. Put them away. They can't have them. Secondly, asking the question, how was your day? Great. Oh, that's in a conversation. You can ask that differently and say, hey, what's one thing today that made you laugh? Mm. What's one thing today that just, kind of ticked you off? You were like really angry about this. Or you can ask a question about what's the best thing that happened to you today? Or something like that. Or tell me the person you talked to most with today, that kind of thing. So you want to figure out what they're doing more than to say, how was your day? But if you say, hey, what made you laugh today? What made you sad today? Oh, now I'm thinking about that. And then you, mom and dad, have to answer the same question. What made you laugh today? And sometimes we get to be adults, we don't think about laughing anymore. Everything, it's a different story. But hey, what exactly? So that's a couple of things that I think are helpful that will engage your kids on a regular basis.
Anyone else?
I think it helps to know your kids' friends, their names, their teachers' names, because then you kind of engage with them a little bit more in conversation to be like, oh, was that with this so-and-so, or how's this person, or it's not just this school is something you don't know anything about. You actually know some of the names of the people that they're interacting with there, and you can build on what you know about those people and how things are going then, and it's more than just my friends were this class.
Have their friends over to your house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Even if it's something where, oh, they can't get a ride. Well, I'll talk to their mom. I can pick them up after school and bring them over for a bit. Yeah. Right? Like, get them into your house so, you know, so you can get to know them too.
That's good. That's a good
and
idea.
And they feel welcome.
Yep.
You know?
Awesome. It's a good podcast, guys.
Awesome.
We will catch you next week. If you have any questions or want to email anything, btw@northview.org. See you next week.